dark night. It's a dark night.
Hey, folks, we're pulling off the WHM Texas Two-Step, and we want you to be a part of it. That's right. May 14th and May 15th, we are in the Lone Star State doing two shows in two cities, two different movies. We want you to come out for both of them. Let's see, 5/14, we are in Houston, Texas. That's right, this is our Space City debut. We're playing the Houston Improv, talking RoboCop 2. Fabulous movie. Child gangsters, a drug called Nuke. RoboCop still being played by the one and only Peter Weller. That's right, you got to do it. He's our RoboCop. 5/15, the next night, the very next night, the second part of the Texas Two-Step is happening in the great city of Austin, Texas. Our return there. Have not played Austin, Texas in 6 years, gang. We are back and better than ever playing Cap City Comedy. We're doing an official We Love Movies episode all about Robert Rodriguez's masterpiece From Dusk Till Dawn. Listen, we love this movie. We're going to have a lot of fun talking about it. Both shows are going to be fantastic. We're so excited to debut in Houston. That's another notch in our belt as far as great cities in this country playing a show for. We're so excited to debut at the Houston Improv. RoboCop 2, next night, Cap City Comedy in Austin, Texas, From Dusk Till Dawn, We Love Movies. The WHM 2024 Texas Two-Step. It's going to be a gas, gang. Head over to WHMpodcast.com for all ticket information. What do you think about that, slack-jawed magazine writer Billy Campbell?
Oh, perfect.
Now, on with the show.
Dark night. It's a dark night.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On Screen Live. My name is Andrew Jupin, and this is our show for, holy smokes, Monday, the 6th of May. Hope you all had a great weekend. Anybody take a bath on the Derby this weekend, by the way? Congrats to Mystic Dan. There he is, photo finish, just by a nose, winning the Derby for some rich asshole. Going to bring in some non-rich assholes, my buds. We got a lot to catch up on today. We got people back from the road and whatnot. So let's see, bring them in here. First up, fresh with that crispy LA tan, Steve Zadek.
That's right. I tan well. Dan always reminds me of one of my favorite throwaway gags, Fantastic Dan. I think it's in the Carney Simpsons episode where I think something Spud, the little kid, goes, oh, yeah, something. Fantastic Dad. And then some guy comes out of a hole and goes, did you call for me, Spud? And then someone hits him with a hammer. It's great. Yes. I don't know. I enjoy it.
You're back. How was the wedding? Viewers are curious to know.
Oh, the wedding was wonderful. It was a very beautiful wedding. It was an Armenian ceremony, which I've never been to. And it was gorgeous. But man, oh man, those folks love it. And it takes all day. And it is. So now it's like my new thing is like longer than an Armenian wedding is going to be my new way. My new turn of phrase. But no, it was beautiful. The ceremony, I'm very happy to have a new sister-in-law. Everything was really great. It was nice. Really cool. And I got nice and drunk. So that's fun.
Hey, man, nice and drunk. That's the way to go. Speaking of nice and drunk, we'll see. Might be a little early. Please welcome back Eric Siska.
Hey, everyone. I'm back and I'm dressed as the last movie people saw in theaters. So
look at it go.
I couldn't get the red ones. Mm-hmm. I think they were either sold out or they were worried about people going down the street, you know?
Mm-hmm. Pew-pewing.
Yeah, people do that. It's America. So that
look like you're
about.
Wearing. If one was one color and one was another color, they'd look like 3D glasses. Or something.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. Oh my God, 3D, it's back. Have you seen this? It's in the theaters again. My God,
it's back. It's back, man. And who could care?
Not me.
This next guy, big hater of 3D. Chris Cabin.
No, Devin, are you telling me that's not a rat? That is a rat. Stop telling me this is. Look at it. Look, it's scurrying right there.
See, motherfucker's just going through his address book every week.
Come on. Will you just take care of it? I don't care. I know it's the size of a Buick. Just take care of it, please.
Chris Cabin.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Hold on. Devin, hold on.
This money pit he's in, it's really dumb. Really tough.
Now it's fucking infested with rats, dude. Why did you buy this house?
It's one rat. It's only one way.
And if it's the size of a Buick, Chris, just get a saddle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah,
go
I
down
guess
the street with it? You
yeah,
go down the street like it. This?
I do got a lot of extra dog food. I could probably just feed the rat the dog food. That's, you know, it works.
You should.
Maybe.
Just
by
raise
way,
it as a dog and it'll become a dog. It'll
there's no
like
such
dog.
Thing as just one rat, by the way. Mm. You've seen one rat at a
well,
time.
Sure. Yes.
You got fucking rats, man.
Well, yes. This is the mother, clearly. The mother one.
Oh, dude. Oh,
graveyard sure. shift yes. rat.
It, well, you know, in chicken shit movies, if you kill that one, then everything else will die or yeah. turn back to normal or something like yeah. that.
Oh, arachnophobia yeah. rules, right?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
The curse will be broken.
Speaking of rats, this box office, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Let's take a look at this because, man, oh, man, I think, I don't know, we might be in for a tough summer. Let's take a look. This is highest gross. All right, we're gonna get into it here. First up, you know shit is tough when you're in week six of a movie that almost everyone you know has already seen, and yet it's number five at the box office.
Ooh,
oh my goodness, Kong, the New Empire, another $4.5 million, just because there is nothing doing anything.
And this folks. Is week six, right?
Week six.
That,
yeah.
Did I see the poster one more time? Now that I've seen it 2 million times.
Yep.
You think Zilla is goosing Kong a little bit so he runs faster?
Absolutely.
A little bit, ass pressure.
Little claw yeah. finger at exactly.
He's a little he's an old timer in this movie, man. That's why he's got the fucking bowling brace and everything. You know, he's like, come on, let's go. I know you're fucking old. Let's do it. One last ride. Get
now,
in there.
Are we sure they're not just trying to hide that this is actually Kung Fu Panda is in this? is it possible that we are being lied to here?
I agree.
That's my house teammate, right.
Something afoot. I mean, where's Kung Fu Panda in this list? That movie was supposed to be a juggernaut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I was waiting for it to be here until November, at least.
Same.
Let's see. Where was it? It's in eighth right now. So still in the top 10.
I was going to say that it's still in the top 10, though, to be quite honest.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, still in the top 10 somehow, some way, man. Very crazy. In at four, fucking, I don't know, a single soul who saw this or was excited about it at all. Taro.
What? Pardon?
That's me? Right. $6.5 million from Screen Gems and Sony. This is the next in, like, you know, a kind of, like, C-minus cinema score for this. How are you getting C-minus cinema scores for a horror movie, Taro?
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me just put a virtual reminder in my calendar to rent that in about
VOD.
3.5 weeks. got it.
Oh, my God. Cards are so scary. They should do like a poker movie that's a horror bet.
Sure they have. I mean, I don't know what
kinda,
that
it was.
I mean, Rounders, right? I mean, no.
Well, it's not a horror bent, but that fucking secret movie with Russell Crowe.
Yes.
Poker Night or Poker Face.
It's like a home invasion deal, right?
Kind of, yeah. Like people are coming for somebody at the house. And
got
it's like,
it.
You may be wondering why I gathered you all to my big mansion in the middle of nowhere.
Okay, I got
to
check that out. I love home invasions.
I mean, poker horror movies just like basically owing the mafia. I mean,
right? Yeah.
Because I mean, like that always goes with more thriller. Like, I think you could make that literally scary. You know what I mean? Like, that's a terrifying idea to me. Is like, shit, dude. Like,
yeah,
the mafia is like at your house. Like, you know, that's kind of creepy.
The mafia's at my house. I'll tell my wife to make some sauce. Let's put some dinner on the table.
Where can you tell you not?
So yeah, I don't know. By the way, Steve, did you say 3 weeks to rent that?
Yeah.
Unless you're really busy, I think maybe next weekend you might be.
All right. You hear the 60-year-old voice saying, "Well, it's a horror movie. We might as well see it. We're 35 years old and addicted to this stuff."
They need to expand those windows. Like Monkey Man's already for rent or whatever.
Yeah.
Give us at least a month to see this in the theater.
And or like miss it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right,
I think the missing it is kind of a cool thing.
Well, because they try to make it so that there's not a drop off, right? It's like going with the theatrical until it starts puttering out. And whenever that putter happens, you have to be ready with the PVOD
to
go to rent it.
Zero ads for the video release.
Exactly.
And just try to piggyback off the theatrical. And it's really working great. I'm doing it.
I saw at least the poster, the trailer for Taro several times in the theaters. Not like I wasn't tired of it. I mean, I was tired of it because it looks terrible, but I saw it multiple times at least.
And I never saw a trailer for it. I never saw a trailer for a movie I saw this weekend, The Fall Guy. I literally never saw a trailer.
Yeah, wow. Crazy that you dodged that.
Me and Eric were the ones who did not see this thing, and you two saw it everywhere.
I don't know what this is. I went to the movie theater blind, didn't see a single trailer.
Well, Chris, the problem with you, dude, I know exactly what you're missing is because when you fucking constantly bootleg movies off the internet, it doesn't come with the pre-show.
I've never bootlegged a movie. Are you talking about when I go and hang out with Cameron Ripley? Cameron Ripley.
Maybe it's all the rats that are doing
the rats are doing. The rats go on the keyboard
and eat all the stuff.
This is a rat doodling like pirate.
I was surprised that I did not see a trailer for The Fall Guy before my brother's wedding. Like literally, you know, you get in into the church. Wow. And then just
they pushed it in the city. Out in the suburbs, there was no trailer. Mm-hmm. No trailer, no, man.
I got nothing, really. That's even wild. At Monkey Man, like I went to see Monkey Man in the theater. I went like I do, and I saw two movies in theaters this weekend. And nothing.
Crazy! Wow.
I did see Challenger's trailer a bunch. Mm.
Yes, that I did see.
Speaking of which, by the way, Rock and Rolling at number 3 here, and it's a second week. We're looking at another 7.6 mil, only a 49% fall. Not too bad, and this kind of explains a little bit of the push and pull here. Took the wrong graphic off. The push and pull with the Fall Guy. Part of it is you're looking at, you know, this movie where it's supposed to be. I'm talking about the Fall Guy right here, like kind of like the romance thing. Is it a date movie kind of also? Yeah. And 71% of Challenger's audience this weekend was the ladies. So still this movie just fucking hacking away at other box office opportunities, which is, hey, you know, totally fine. I'm glad people are finding this movie.
Definitely.
Now get ready for this. Who saw this coming? Not me. Cause I think when they did the 3D one, it was barely a blip, but number 2 this weekend, the little movie that could episode 1, The Phantom Menace in its 1,303rd weekend at the box office.
I mean, this is a good sign for what Bob Iger wanted to do more theatrical Star Wars. Yeah, and this is a good sign for that.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, all I can say is thank God. Thank you all for supporting independent cinema.
Yes.
I really appreciate that.
Yes. Good job on that.
Yeah. No,
Bring it back to classics.
I do agree with Eric. Honestly, like Star Wars should remain a mostly theatrical event. So if this is something that facilitates that, sure, I'm cool with it. And retro screenings are fun. I go to retro screenings all the time.
I totally agree. And I there's a good chance we're never going to have a Star Wars movie again.
Yeah.
Skywalker might have honestly killed it if it did that. And that was the movie that would have killed off a line like this. It might
This is the thing, though, because we're so conditioned to be like, when's the next one's coming? The next one's coming. The next one's coming. I don't think it's a barred from theaters thing. I think it's just like they're acknowledging the saturation and it's like,
take a break
from that.
Yes.
And because they haven't released a feature length film straight to Disney Plus.
But now they're saying the Lando TV show is going to be a movie now. So,
is that going to be a movie?
That's what I heard last. Yeah. I don't know if that's changed again, but it sounds like they're going to start moving away from Disney Plus, which has not been.
Well, they're basically Wayne Knight at the end of Jurassic Park when he knocks over that sign and it's that arrow that's like, go to safety. And then he goes this way and then he turns it. No! That's them with movie versus television.
But because you have an actual, like a reporting mechanism. I don't know how accurate it is, but there is a reporting mechanism for box office. Yeah. And it's embarrassing when it doesn't make the money you say it's going to make.
Yeah.
Or people don't like it the way they do. But if it's on streaming, hey, we can make up the numbers. We can say whatever. We got these positive fucking reviews right here.
Take a swing. If it doesn't do well, I'll forgive you.
Okay? did anybody do anything for, I mean, Steve, I assume no, with the weekend, but did anyone ring in May the 4th with any Star Wars viewing? I did not.
I actually did not either at all. And I
I don't celebrate fake holidays. Sorry.
So Christmas is out.
I'm not saying it's a fucking Easter's holiday. I'm just saying, you know, I'm not getting anybody a card, but sometimes I put out a fucking Ewok cartoon or some shit.
This is the response of someone who's bought a card for Star Wars Day before.
Hilariously, yesterday I was wearing an Empire Strikes Back shirt on my flight back from LA, and I go, I'm going through security, get boarded onto the plane. And the lady's like, ooh, may the 4th be with you. And I'm like, okay. And then, because I just didn't know what shirt I was wearing. And then it was like, and I just thought it was because I look like a nerd. And I was like, oh, right, because the star, I'm wearing
that
Star Wars.
That would be insane if she was just like, this guy's a fucking nerd. Let me just say it to him.
Oh, I say that to all the little pigs that look like you.
Got second sight that one.
I bought a ticket for the Phantom Menace to go to right after this, but I decided not to now because I haven't sat around the house in a while. So
you gotta have some fucking ass time, dude. Absolutely.
My ass is sore from all the stuff I've been doing. That sounds dirty, but it's not. But I'm tired and I need a break.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So here we go. Number one, it was indeed the Fall Guy. And boy oh boy, falling below the tracking, which was starting on the low end, was $30 million. So here we are, $28.5 million for this David Leitch film here. And you know, I think part of it is honestly you can't, like, they couldn't really answer, like, who is this movie for? Who are we pushing this movie towards? Combined with the fact that industry movies like this are hard. It's hard to
get the thing.
General audiences to give a shit about a movie about making movies.
Movies about movies never do well. And why do we keep taking huge swings at them?
I mean, we're going to get into it, of course, when we talk about the movie. But like, I can see the play, right? Like, everybody's talking about we want a stuntman Oscar. Stunts are big right now. So I get that you want to focus, especially David Leitch, who has this fucking history of action movies.
He was a stuntman himself.
Yeah, he worked on the first John Wick with Stahelski. And I think it's funny because it is so much the director of Bullet Train. You forget that this is Bullet Train's David Leitch. He's the guy who did it. And it feels exactly like Bullet Train to me. Almost identical. It's like Ryan Gosling's a better actor, I think, than Brad Pitt. So there's that. But like, I other than that, I'm like, it's the same kind of like goofy, like, too hyperactive. It's not about making movies. I wish it was about making movies.
It seems Chris, I wish we're getting ahead of the fucking programming lineup here, but I wish that this movie could be called Hyperactive. Are you kidding me? We'll talk about it when we talk about
the trailer. Always seemed like there was too much going on, basically, or looked like there was two movies fighting itself. Yes. One being a rom-com where the director and the stuntman have a fling, and that sounds like cute, and that's a movie I might want to watch. And then the other one is a fucking Guy Ritchie movie where the stuntman has to go in and save the action star from and live an action movie himself. And those are two totally different movies. At least, again, trailer watcher that I've seen 2,000 times.
No, and you're right. It's definitely a little long, so it could have used some paring down. We'll get to it all in a later segment.
That's right. But our patrons on Patreon over the weekend, majority missed this one. Congrats to the 20% who voted for the tiny box office explosion of $30 million or under. Let's see here. And of course, specialty box office this week. Just a nice one to throw out. Jane Schoenbrunn's I Saw the TV Glow from A24 in its first week here, limited release, did a total of, I forgot to put the graphic here, but it did $116,000 on four screens. That's like a $29,000 per screen. Pretty great. Now, Chris Cabin, give you some time here for a little bit of a capsule review, as you are the only one who has seen this in limited release.
It's the movie of the year thus far. As far as I'm concerned, it's I don't know if anything. I mean, they have made a movie. We're All Going to the World's Fair is a major debut, and they Jane Schoenbrunn did incredible work with that. But this, it just amplifies everything right to the right tunage. The colors are so, the emotions are so deep and dark, and what it's trying to talk about is something that no movie has tried to talk about before, is actually talking about the emotional experience of considering trans, like becoming trans. Like, that is the meat of the movie. There is, you know, it's about something else. It's about a knockoff kind of Buffy meets Twin Peaks show that two people are obsessed with. Mm-hmm. And what happens when the show ends and their relationship ends. It's amazing. Like, I don't want to say anything. It is so much a movie. You just walk into it. Don't read nothing. Don't do nothing. As best as you can, just walk into this thing and see what it is. It's the only like shake and bake description I can give, and it doesn't do any justice, is if Greg Araki had directed Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me. That is about the tone we're going for here.
Sounds good to me.
Really intense. Yeah. It is about as intense as a movie as I have seen. It's anxiety producing to the max. Especially in its last 30 minutes. It is huge, huge movie.
It's interesting. I've been hearing nothing but like, this is the best fucking thing ever since January. And I'm getting very concerned because when I hear that enough and then the movie isn't like exactly that to a T, I feel cheated by the public.
This is,
and I thought World's Fair was fine. I've never rewatched it. I thought it was a good movie. I kind of felt like I was perhaps a scotch too old for it. So I'm curious about this, to say the least. I did want to see it this weekend. Just got a little lazy, got a little more interested in making my tiki cocktails this weekend. Sure. So we'll be plenty of time to see it.
I will say the thing you're talking about. Fall Guy got so much good press out of, I think it was South by Southwest is where it premiered.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been watching this happen. The big movies, like the really big blockbuster movies that premiere and you start hearing like the 10 to 12 critics that are sent out to these things that they give it the positive review. We are finding that those are absolutely incorrect. Almost every time. Every time they fuck it up. But with smaller movies, I think it's still correct. Like, I think I saw like the other great movie of this year that we're going to talk about in a couple of months is Close Your Eyes, which also like is a very indie movie. And people have been saying it's the best movie of last year. And I think it was. I think it's worth trusting. It's going to go expand this week, I think. So you should go see it. I would say go see it.
Yeah, no idea what the actual scope will be for an expansion. I don't know if it's this exact week, but this $29,000 per screen on four screens is a very healthy number. So,
and I've seen the trailer for this a ton of times. But no Fall Guy.
It's fascinating.
I love that. By the way, because we were so excited to get into the box office, just want to we gotta fucking celebrate the folks that we're gonna celebrate real quick. First up, Honoring the Dead. He would have been 109 years old today, you guys. Filmmaker, celebrated filmmaker, legendary filmmaker, and strong supporter of using night vision in cinema, Orson Welles.
There he is.
Hell yeah. Look at that photo.
Bring him back somehow.
Rock and roller Bob Seger turns 79.
Bring him back from the dead as well.
No, I fucking double checked it, dude. Oh, Bob Seger, 100% still alive.
Okay.
Andrew's been calling the morgue since last week.
Now just make sure you got no one on ice like Bob Seger, right? Don't put me on your night moves. Let's see. Fucking tequila and mezcal magnate George Clooney turns 63.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, just dedicated to not directing good movies. Just would love to not do it.
Oh right,
that fucking boat movie.
Did you see the boat movie?
I did. No. It was the plane wanted me to watch that movie, and I did not.
Well, you don't know it's bad, then, do you?
It's true.
Wait a second, Steve.
He's disinterested in movies that I would ever want to watch. There you go.
Sure. Yeah. But Steve, man, missed opportunity. You could have said you watched the boat movie on a plane. That's kind of funny.
That's pretty good. That's
I like this first few, right? Because he did, what was that movie?
Good Night and Good Luck. The classic movie. I love that
Confessions
movie.
Of a Dangerous Mind. I know you're a big fan.
I'm a big fan of it.
I need to rewatch it. I liked it when I saw it the one time, but Good Night and Good Luck sticks out to me as like a masterpiece of a movie.
I gotta go.
You can direct, so go and do it.
I gotta rewatch both of those. It has been a very long time.
I go back to The Ides of March simply because it is Giamatti versus Hoffman. And it is just a hell of a, I mean, those two sharing the screen. I mean, it's incredible.
I've never seen it, actually.
I need to go back and watch it.
It's not a good movie, but again, it's Giamatti versus Hoffman. You're like,
was that the movie, the poster was Ryan Gosling's face in the, Paul Giamatti's in that movie?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know Hoffman was in that other.
Mm-hmm. I saw that at the Ziegfeld before it closed down. It was like me and 800 empty seats. But it was a fun time. I remember kind of being okay with that movie. I need to go back to it.
Happy, let's see, 41st birthday to Friday Night Lights star and almost Wonder Woman Adrienne Palicki.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she was on that.
Just didn't release it?
It was a pilot.
pilot TV show. Yeah. It was Joss Whedon, I believe.
No,
and then...
it was David. Nope. What's his face?
It wasn't Whedon?
It's
not David Guggenheim.
No, the Ally McBeal dude.
David Kelly? Oh,
David Kelly. David Kelly. I believe it was David Kelly.
Wow.
It was all about like her like eating ice cream, having a great time, a girl's night after like kicking butt. I'll make sure I have that right.
Someone in the chat, I think, confirms that, Steve. Yes. And then happy 31st birthday to the Princess Jasmine in the live-action Aladdin nobody wanted. Oh. Naomi Scott. She's gone on to do other things, but
she's like a 3 tentpole movie, because I believe Naomi Scott was in
Power Rangers
movie that nobody liked.
She was the
Aladdin movie that nobody liked. And yeah, also she was a Charlie's Angel that nobody liked.
Oh, sure. Wow. Yes.
I've seen those movies. And
I've seen all those movies.
Actually, not Aladdin. I skipped that one, but I had no idea who this was. I thought I didn't see the trailer for this lady.
No, you saw this one.
Trailer.
No, you saw this one.
We did an episode on one of them.
Right, yeah, the Power Rangers. Yeah.
In the chat here, Rory Sherrard says she's going to be in Smile 2, so nothing to smile about yet.
Oh, boy.
Smile 1 fucking sucked.
Filming it around me. So.
Oh, really? Smile 2? Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I frown whenever I see the signs that they're filming.
Get that fucking frowner out of the shot. This is Smile 2.
Look, we got a pitch for you. People are done with smiles. It's frowns. Everybody wants frowns. So this fall, frown.
Yeah, I don't want to see smile. I want to see like a mean guy. That's what I want to go see in the theater.
You know where I want to see smiles? Next week on tour is where I'd like to see some smiles.
Sure. Yes, that's right. We will be... I can't believe it. The WHM Texas Two-Step is right around the corner.
It's happening.
You have to come. You have to come.
A week from right now, my buns will be watching The Boys in the Boat on a plane going to Houston. But that's right. The 14th will be at the Houston Improv talking RoboCop 2. Very thrilled to rewatch this one. Might get my first rewatch in maybe this week at some point. Try to jam that in there. Very excited to revisit it, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And then the very next night, night two, we're appearing in Austin for the first time in 6 years. We're going to be back at Cap City Comedy. We're going to be back in Austin at Cap City Comedy for the first time. Should clarify that, I guess. Talking From Dusk Till Dawn.
Steve, what kind of night is going to happen?
A dark night.
Okay.
Nah. Might not watch the movie again. I might close my eyes and recite the screenplay on stage. Just beginning to
like a demonic possession, like a puck to me type
of thing. The whole thing.
Yeah. I've just seen this movie so many times and in all the best possible ways.
That's right, folks. So you need to buy a ticket for the Austin show, if only to see Steven do the Salma Hayek dance and his toe into Eric's mouth, because that will be happening.
Yeah.
Of course.
I mean, get that snake out.
Yeah, dude. The snake will be out. I'm dancing. The snake is out.
Oh, boy. Oh, absolutely. A couple of snakes might be out.
Yes. Texas, come on out. I know you're busy having your allegiance with California.
Yes.
Fighting America or whatever, but come to the show.
Two great nights. I'm really excited for it. I've never been to Houston. I love Austin. I love both these movies. Yeah. We're going to have a fucking blast.
Skip the weekly Greg Abbott screening of Birth of a Nation. That's happening.
Come on.
And just come on out.
Come on. He doesn't have that good of taste. His evil movies are somehow worse.
Okay.
Oh, man. That fucking guy. That guy fucking would do that, too.
Oh, that little shit. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That
totally. Oh, yeah. But yeah, that's going to be great.
The fall guy, by the way.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Eric, you know what that's gonna get you, Eric? You know what that's got you?
What?
Check this out, dude. You weren't here last week. You're gonna get one of these.
So is that when somebody needs to cool down?
Just take a breath, cool down. Maybe open up a Cerveza to Cristal if you have it around.
Get away from the body pit. Put the gun down. You know, these are important things.
But Sarge says I have to pour lye on these people.
Sarge.
Pyle?
But yeah, so, you know, we shall see. It's going to be a fun-ass time. And also, speaking of fun-ass time, speaking of Star Wars, be a fun-ass time? We're going to watch the trailer for The Acolyte in a segment we have cleverly entitled Trailer Segment.
don't know anything about this, and like, it's the question you got to ask at start is, what timeline are we talking about here?
Way back.
I think it's before, you know, before Obi-Wan Kenobi was in diapers, I think.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, it's the end of the High Republic, so it's centuries
before Greg Kenobi sired Obi-Wan Kenobi with Shelley Kenobi.
You know we're going to get, like, it's Ken Kenobi, and he's nursing the great-grandfather or whatever. But
Christ. I mean, I hope not, man. I would like to think that it's, like, separated enough, because that's exactly what this, you know, universe needs. It needs to separate from the other shit it's associated with.
It needs to separate from everything, including the old EU. As much as I like characters like Thrawn, don't even try to bring them back.
Yeah.
Just try to do something original and different. And at least this is set in a different time period. But at the same time, we're tired of the TV show.
It's super early. That's the answer. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So this has a 2-episode premiere on Disney Plus the 4th of June. We will, just to answer the questions, we will not be covering it. Too busy with the show production schedule for this one. Maybe a wrap-up thing on a Gleep glossary, though.
Yeah, if you guys watch it, I will be watching it. We will talk about it in a wrap-up way on the Gleep glossary, which is our Star Wars sideshow on Patreon, patreon.com/weHateMovies.
Ooh, you know what? For that Star Wars sideshow, let's use whatever character is shoehorned into it. You know what I mean? Like, whomever winds up like being like winked about is the guy that we do.
Yeah.
I hope it's a wink versus like Lando Calrissian through a time tunnel.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it's like, R2-D2's 10,000 years old.
So he's just wiping his memory.
Yeah.
New batteries, you know? You re-up them every time.
Someone in the chat fucking pissing on my parade and just says 80 years before Phantom Menace.
Mm.
But I don't know if you're right either. Who the fuck knows? You haven't seen it.
Oh my God. So is it about... Peepaw Palpatine, like, really giving it to whomever Emperor Palpatine's mom is.
Oh, you
know what I mean, like, that's how.
Well,
it
goes. If he's Sheev Palpatine, maybe it's like he was named after his mother. She's like Sheeva Palpatine.
Ooh, exactly, dude.
Give it to me, Peepaw.
Oh yes,
yours best with the lightsaber.
See, Chris did Texas Chainsaw, and I thought Steve was making an Offspring reference, which is why, in a Palpatine impression, I said,
I thought you were just talking about sex.
Uh-huh. Also that.
Because all the girls say I'm pretty fly for a Jedi.
Oh,
no.
Oh.
Was that a Weird Al song?
Did I just commit copyright infringement?
There was some, he did something for Menace.
Bye, this here Anakin guy.
Yeah, American Pie.
Yeah.
Oh, thing. God, you're right. That's,
that's
taking me back. That one's rough. Yeah.
That one's really rough.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the Acolyte trailer, here we go. Folks, if you're watching along, in the show description, we have put a link to this exact trailer we're going to watch, which, by the way, like this video, give it the old thumbs up on YouTube, subscribe to this channel, get them notifications, y'all. Help us buck that algorithm. There we go. Let's talk. Oh, look at Philippe coming in here hot. Pretty fly for a rabbi is the Weird Al one.
Thank you, Philippe.
So there we go. Pretty fly for a rabbi.
Now help us fuck the algorithm so we can have an algorithm. How about that? Mm-hmm. All of us collectively.
All right, you dudes ready to watch the Acolyte trailer here? I think this is the second one, by the way. This is the one that came out on May the 4th.
Yes, so
this
two days ago for us in this timeline. Okay, yeah, I'm ready to play this.
All right, let's rock and roll here. This is The Acolyte in 3, 2, 1, go.
Last night.
That's a son.
A Jedi was murdered.
Oh,
yes.
No.
Kill it's some more of them.
Dinner theater. A Jedi was murdered. So everyone, stay in your seats.
No, this is the fella from Squid Game who's in this. I didn't see that show.
I just saw a squid person. You were talking about something different.
No, yes.
Squid Game. Amandla Stenberg, I believe, is the villain here. Yeah. Or dude, Carrie Ann Moss is a Jedi.
Okay,
my butt's in the seat.
I'm into it.
Carrie Ann Moss doing something. I'm into it. Is the answer.
Yeah that's
and
true.
It has been for 20-something years. I
trained her. It's already too dark.
It's too dark to these glasses.
Yeah,
I'm kind of vaguely interested in this.
It seems like a very sort of small-ish story, at least at the start. And
it's like, looking cinematic, you know, in a way like Book of Boba Fett was like filmed on the Sesame Street lot or something.
So you're totally right, dude. This appears like we're outside, at least in some capacity, or at least on a bigger sound stage. We've got some Lord of the Rings walking there. I like that.
I think we're taking some notes from Andor that we need to actually up our game here.
Yeah. I think you're totally right, man.
Do we know who the showrunner is on this? Or the person whoever's doing it?
That's a good question.
And pull it. I feel like it's somebody big.
Oh, yeah. Leslie Headland, who did Russian Doll.
Yep. Okay.
And she was a producer on Sleeping with Other People. I don't know if she wrote it.
I think it looks all right. I'm excited.
I'm interested in, because what we've seen recently is this pull towards, okay, we understand you hate us. So what if we try to make something good? I know we've made nothing but suck. So why don't we make something good here? Because Andor was like the first thing in a long time where I was like, I have an emotional attachment to at least an episode of this.
Yes, yeah.
So that's nice. But like, did anybody read the news about Skeleton Crew this morning?
No.
About how they're getting Phil Tippett back. They're getting an old like matte painter out of retirement.
Thank God.
Now, like, this is like a negotiation with look, yes, we try to do it the cheap way and just try to like make everybody an algorithm and just fuck it all and try to make the computers do it. That didn't work. You hate us. How about if we put a little bit of effort in?
It's been downhill for a while, but I do think like early Mando was very good. I really enjoyed that. And we got into a rhythm and then a lull. So
I saw the Kenobi show. I'm also but the thing is, I'm curious about with this, that kind of like the AI versus a matte painting, like how much money are you saving? And you're Disney. You know what I mean? Like
exactly. Well, that's the thing, dude. It's all like corporate scum greed. Less we spend on this shit, the more money we get back for ourselves, and it's resulted in this echo chamber of like your product keeps getting shittier and shittier.
Yes.
And you have people at the helm who don't care about art or entertainment in any real way, and look what's fucking happening. It's deteriorating from the inside out.
Phil Tippett and the matte painting guy have specialized abilities.
Yes,
right.
I don't want to do it that way. Fuck off.
Abilities that you wouldn't learn. Abilities that you wouldn't learn from a Jedi.
No. And like, right? It's on a computer. It's just a bunch of people. And it's just like, just do that. Just do that. Well, just do that.
I think they're
like, it's done. Yeah. Painting's done. Right there.
The visual effects people, I know there's some listen to the show and they're nice people and have families or whatever, but they've got a stranglehold on the industry, right? That's the new mafia everything needs to be rendered again. Sorry. Yes. Movies rendering.
Well, the effects people, they are overworked to shit. And like their bosses are the people who fucking suck. It's like, of course, the producers and the studio guys who are telling them, why don't you work 3 days on, the mouth of a hog beast for Fall Guy 3, Enter the Hog of Hogging. it's nothing for anything fun. It's just for garbage.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of special effects and whatnot, fucking take us right into one of the movies we're going to talk about during the on-screen review segment here. But let's get to one of the most unfortunate things I've experienced in a while when it comes to putting a motion picture in front of my peepers. Of course, I'm talking about Jerry Seinfeld's Unfrosted.
Oh, no. Boy, yeah.
Eric and Chris, the three of us watched this, and I gotta say, for once in 13 years, I'm almost speechless. Like, I don't know where to begin with this movie. But Chris Cabin, you fucking nailed it on the head before we went on the air.
A lot of people have said this. It is just how it looks and the way it works. It is a feature-length Super Bowl commercial. It is the idea of like, here's a clever little thing that's kind of weird that we could do. Why don't we do the most broad jokes possible?
Right.
Why don't we extract anything like timing from the whole thing? Just get that right out of there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And just let it run as what is mostly like sitcom-y like pacing. Like, there's like these little scenes and then it ends. And like the bigger thing doesn't really matter ultimately because like And that would be fine if the jokes were good, but the jokes aren't fucking good.
The premise is like, I guess it could be funny where it's like, oh, we're going to take a like cereal wars. We're developing the Pop-Tart. We're going to take it as seriously as the space race or whatever.
Yes.
But
yes,
it just doesn't, it like never hits.
What are you trying to save by that? Like
nothing.
Is the point that like commercialism has taken over any sense of like exploration? That's a great idea, but you know what, at the end of it, it's not like these fucking companies suck. It's not that. It's like
they're celebrating them. They're like, oh, look at this holiday, and we're mentioning every single corporation we could possibly mention and putting them into the movie.
I think that this, what's going on, and I haven't seen the movie, but I can tell because I can smell it from these three guys. It wasn't woke enough for them. Clearly, the wokeness was, you know, their wokeness has been destroyed on screen. And Jerry, who's never made a bad product, only made bad products in the last 30 years. Sorry,
you know who's known for being edgy? Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah, he's that whole anti-woke thing was so funny.
He's amazing. I don't know where he's getting that from.
Someone else told him.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Yes,
he listened to Joe Rogan once, and now he's poisoned or something. But and also, the problem is, like, I think Seinfeld's funny. I think he's been funny. He does his stand-up's good, but you can't have a 70-year-old making a comedy movie. You can't have a 70-year-old running SNL. It's all gonna fall so flat.
Here's the biggest, and I mean, the answer is ego, of course, but it's absurd that he directed this movie.
Yes,
it's absolutely absurd that he directed this.
As absurd, he directed it and started, and I was like thinking, like, you know, they had like Snap, Crackle and Pop, and it was what, Mikey Day and Kyle Mooney and someone else, and it's just like,
and third guy.
But I'm watching like 40 something year old men play like the kid characters, and I'm watching a 70 year old man lead the movie.
Part of me wonders if this was all because Seinfeld became the thing that people kept Netflix for so long.
Yeah.
It's like you just have them all right there. You can just watch Seinfeld anytime you like. That's enough for me.
This was definitely folded into whatever that contract
was. That's what I thought.
For sure.
And by the time you got to this, he just didn't give a fuck. Like, you're like, hey, this is a Barbie just happened. Here's a bunch of, not just one brand. Why don't we get all the fucking brands in there? And we just make a commercial movie.
Yeah.
How about that?
And I mean, that's the thing, is why, that's why like BlackBerry was the best of these movies, because it's the only one that actually has any teeth for the product that it's talking about. You know what I mean? The product is dead. You know what I mean? So you can actually, it's not like, oh man, I can't wait for BlackBerry to come back. It knows that, and it like kind of actually just has some fun with it. And it's actually like, it feels like a movie as opposed to a commercial for something.
The cavalcade of cameos and everything, and like the two big cameos that everyone's freaking out about, that, you know, I won't spoil it here or whatever, but like, it was fine. But it's one of those, like, you're kind of just reminding me of better shit. And also, that plays right into the whole notion of it's just a feature-length Super Bowl commercial, because what do we see a trend in with a lot of these Super Bowl commercials in modern day? The notion of the actor picking back up a role that they haven't played in a while, right? They did it with that fucking Lebowski commercial. Like, there's been a couple of those, and it's like, oh, isn't it cool to see them? And like, yeah, I guess, but like, this is the exact turn that the SNL sketch would make.
Yes. Yep. I mean, you know? I assume, I'm not going to let it all go. I'm assuming you're talking about the Mad Men thing. Andrew?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying not to fucking spoil, but sure.
Andrew, you don't have to worry about spoiling it.
Oh, no, it's everywhere.
Is it? Yes, Netflix put out about a fucking plan about it.
I haven't seen it. I knew that happened.
Is that right?
Yes, they're not hiding it. I thought it was like, that's so embarrassing. I would never let that out of the fucking, I would keep that fucking buried. But like,
well, because you have to have all these fucking asshole articles now, right, that are like, the story behind that big cameo, like the fucking day after it happens.
Of course.
They did it just recently with the show Sugar that I'm watching on Apple, where it was like, let's talk about that big Sugar switch. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up for 2 seconds.
Skip Unfrosted. Instead, watch this. I watched a 1986 video movie this weekend, a slasher film called Night Ripper, starring the Soup Nazi. So watch that.
Oh, nice.
Very nice.
There you go.
You know what? Night Ripper?
I'm not going to spoil the twists. You want me to do the sugar drop here? You want me to do the mad thing reveal?
The honeymooners are in Night Ripper. Who knew?
Dude, Jackie Gleason in Night Ripper. No, that would be fucking sweet. I'd watch that. You know what's a fucking better sort of like advertisement movie than Unfrosted the Pop-Tart Story, though?
What's that?
Cerveza Cristal. Cerveza Cristal.
I could listen to that forever.
Yeah, I really could.
We really should start petitioning them to sponsor the show at this point. I know they're still around.
That way we'd get free samples. I can finally fucking have it. And I love everybody that's like, Andrew, you're not missing anything. It's a bad beer.
Folks,
that's not the fucking point.
There's no bad beer.
No.
There's bad movies, but
I've consumed warm strohs in an empty soccer field in the middle of the night, friend.
Yes.
You're not going to get me on bad beer.
All right, really quickly.
Yeah.
I know we're trying to keep it quick. Why can I only get Coors Banquet beer west of the Rockies? What treaty did we lose? Like, I don't know. Like, every time I go out west, I get a banquet beer, and it's exactly the kind of cheap beer that I want.
This is the plot delicious. Of Smoking the Bandit, by the way.
All right.
Because they have to rush the beer to the other side, to the east coast.
Dude, I sniff remake, dude.
I thought it was the plot of Civil War, which I haven't seen yet. Is that what Jesse Plemons is so upset about?
Yeah.
He's the guy who finally got Fat Tire to the East Coast.
Got
he
was like,
what kind of American are you? Do you drink Coors Banquet beer? Or
you one of those double IPAs?
Yeah,
kind of
craft IPA, you woke mother.
So we'll get into it here as we're coming up to the top of the hour. The other big one, we'll talk about it, David Leitch's The Fall Guy. Now, I should say something to sort of put out here. So in preparation for this, little known fact about this movie, and they didn't lean into it with the marketing because they didn't have to because nobody remembers, but this is an adaptation of a TV show nobody gave a shit about.
Oh, is it really? Okay.
It is.
Everything now, has to be, right?
Yes,
everything has to be.
I should say, back in the early 80s, somebody gave a shit because it ran from 81 to 86, starred Lee Majors. And I got to tell you, I bought the first season on Apple because it was $4.99.
Got
the pilot episode is basically like an 85-minute movie. It's kind of better than the David Leitch movie.
Yeah.
It is like...
But the plot's different, right? It's not about trying to find the lead actor.
That's the thing. It's not like he gets embroiled in like a mystery or whatever. He is a guy who... He's a working stuntman. And when he's in between stunt jobs, because, you know, it's not a constant source of employment for him, he's basically a fucking skip trace guy. He's a bounty hunter.
Got it.
And so this first pilot episode is he is going after this dude who fucking drunkenly ran a kid down with his car and killed him. Mm. The dude skips town, and it turns out he's actually a high up in society sheriff in some other town somewhere else. And he's got like a stranglehold on the whole town, basically. And Lee Majors has to go in with his sidekick, who they cut out of the movie. There's like a cousin character that comes in like, I want to work in the stunt business with you.
It's like Don Quixote's guy, right?
Yeah. And so he's got to like figure out ways to like get this, and it's like, how am I going to arrest a sheriff? And he's got to use stuntman tactics. He's doing stuntman tricks and
sounds cool.
Goofing on people.
Yeah, more MacGyver like. Cool. Yeah.
Yes, it's got a little bit of a MacGyver feel. But to Steve, to your thing about banquet beer, it is, even though it's 81 to 86, this is a fucking hardcore 1970s feeling. Holdover, you can smell the cigarettes, you can taste the banquet beer.
Love
like
that.
It's kind of fun as fuck. And for $4.99, you get like 20 some odd episodes, dudes. It's totally worth it. It cost me way less than seeing the movie.
Well, it sounds a little bit better than the movie, but I did like the movie more or less. I feel like it's 20, 30 minutes too long. There's too
big
many
time.
Threads. But I find the cast very fun. And I do think the little romance stuff is cute. It's a cute movie.
I mean, thought it worked. I wish that they leave. And I think this is what causes some of the two kinds of movies never connect, or they don't connect until it's almost too late. They leave Emily Blunt's character in the dark about what is going on in the movie.
Right.
So every time he has to interact with Emily Blunt, any of the high stakes, what you've come to the movie for part of the story, has to stop because she doesn't know what's up, and he's actively trying to keep it from her because he's so concerned about like, if this all falls apart, she's not going to make this movie, and this is her big directorial debut and blah blah blah. So like But when she finally gets the net, you know, when she's finally informed as to what's up, that's when the movie kind of really started, you know, put its heels in for me and started actually kind of chugging along. I did think it was fun. I think I'm probably in the middle of Eric and Chris Cabin.
I mean, to me, I hated the structure. The fact that
the ending is rough. I mean, there's a lot of structural problems. There's a lot of problems. I just think it's a little charming sometimes.
Because all the twists are so fucking obvious from the very beginning. You're like screaming, like, just get to it. Just
get to it.
You'll know it the minute you watch this movie. 30 minutes in, you'll be like, oh, I know exactly how it's going to end. Other than the fucking crap afterwards, but like, what you would want from this is to see Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling meeting, getting to know each other, being a little human together. They've already met by the time the thing starts. Like, you don't even get to see the stuff that you want to see. It's just them being like, I will say, I agree that Gosling, I think, gives an incredible performance. I was with him the whole time.
He's totally great.
I think Emily Blunt, if they had given her more to do and Aaron Taylor Johnson a little less to do, we might have had something there.
One of the fucking worst. I'm sorry. He is one of the worst to ever do it. And I don't get it with that dude.
He's supposed to be obnoxious and stupid in the movie. So I do get that, but it just didn't really work. The ending kind of fell apart. I do like playing the stunt reel during the credits. Felt like an old Jackie Chan movie. Sure. There's fun elements, but I don't think they really, you know, stuck the landing here.
No. It's a big mess. And like, that's what Leach does. Like, he makes big, stupid, also, messy movies.
Definitely written probably 10 or 15 years ago, because they say epic a lot.
Oh, really?
Which is like, why wouldn't you update this?
I don't know. I guess just based on these reviews and just, again, I was really sick of the trailer by the end of it. I think I'm never going to see this movie, folks. I think I'm okay with it.
I haven't seen the trailer. I don't think I'm ever going to see the trailer.
I think it would make a totally fine hangover movie. It's probably a movie that would get a lot of like HBO play and that kind of shit. Like, because I found it watchable. It's got an immense amount of problems. The thing is, though,
hangover movie for sure.
Yeah, like with the comparison to Bullet Train, though, which I despised. That movie really kind of like,
still not.
You're totally fine. It fucking sucks. But like, that movie carries with it this kind, like, it's so self-satisfied, you know, at what it's doing.
Yeah.
And you kind of like, aren't we stinkers? Like, it's kind of that vibe a little bit too. And that bothered me. This, there's less of that, but also I feel like that sort of makes it feel like a less confident movie, if that makes sense. Yeah. Someone in the chat saying the stunts look fake. Hard disagree. I thought the stunts that were actual stunts, sure. I mean,
yeah, but
there's
the mafioso visual effects artist got in there to tinker it a little, make it look worse.
I mean, I'm not eyeballing it. Like, a lot of it looked realistic. If you tell me a few of them weren't, I would believe you. Like, it's a huge movie. That makes sense. But the Bullet Train, it's just like, it's hyperactive. Nothing like, You can't connect to it because it keeps moving along. It's just plowing and plowing and plowing. And that's all it's doing. And all the stuff looks okay because the colors are nice and because Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt are there. But like, other than that, like, you can't really care about it. You can't like put yourself into it because there's no emotional resonance. There's nothing. Nothing's coming back.
I'm going to take a shot in the dark and guess that Ryan and Emily aren't plowing in this movie. And that might be a problem.
No sex scene, right? No actual sex.
No, of course not. They're not going to plow.
No,
because she's kept in the dark, and to keep her in the dark, he has to kind of like not try to plow.
Yeah,
you know. I will say though, Chris, I don't necessarily agree with your take on that. It keeps like chugging along. I found like it takes so long to get going. It was like torture. Like the first 20 minutes, half hour.
I prefer the start to the end. Personally,
I agree that it takes a long time to start, but it's not like the stuff that's happening at the beginning, like nothing's happening. Stuff is happening. You just don't give a shit about it.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a shit about it. It's just
just
plowing through stuff. It's just like, hey, here's Ryan Gosling's character. You want to know about him, right? Fuck you. How about he's a stuntman? How about that? And he loves Emily Blunt. Isn't that good? So shut the fuck up and watch the movie.
So check it out or don't. I think we have to start wrapping it up here.
Yeah. No, I, you know, it's like a middle of the road recommend. I had fun with it. You know, no shame if you really dug it, because it's a fun movie. It's okay to like fun movies. But that is going to do it for this week. Just a quick reminder of what all we've been up to. Of course, last week. Hell yeah. Men at Work closed out Sheen Prol. It was really great talking about a cult comedy that we all enjoyed right there. Of course, also May bonuses or Patreon offerings started last week with a We Love Movies all about Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior, which will lead us right into what's coming out tomorrow, folks, on the main feed and also ad-free on Patreon. Of course, we have a new episode out. Lethal Weapon 3 is finally discussed on the
Look
show.
At that, Ed. Joe Pesci. Like, he wrote it himself. Like, he's, oh, you know, I want to be in the movie so bad. Let me write my name on the poster.
I'm legally a baby.
And what, I mean, what's funny is this would have been, like, Mel Gibson, Danny Glover, Lethal Weapon 3. Remove and Joe Pesci. Remove Joe Pesci's face. That was the original poster. And then when they fucking, at the last second, decided to cram Leo Getz into this movie.
Yes.
They had already had the poster done, and it was like, I guess he could have a fun signature on the poster and his face behind it. Yeah, dumb as shit. But it made for a really great episode. Do not miss that tomorrow. Also, we have a Melrose 210 coming out that I don't know where the fucking graphic is for, but that'll come out on Thursday. That was a lot of fun. Bonkers stuff. Some shady shit on that 90210.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is that Gil Myers up to his old tricks?
Gil Myers, baby.
He's up to his old tricks. Absolutely. Poor Sue Scanlon. For many reasons on
and
that
Brandon
episode.
Is loud and wrong many times in that episode.
He should have that tattooed on his fucking back, dude. And then Friday, back in action, the penultimate episode of Too Old for This Shit for this first season. We're going to be talking about three episodes of X-Men 97, Bright Eyes, and the first two parts of the three-part finale.
Yes.
Whatever is extinction.
Yeah, something or other.
Is extinction. I don't remember.
I'm glad you got that cuck Captain America on that on that poster, because man, throws that shield, dude. Go fucking fetch. You go fucking find it, asshole.
Tolerance is extinction. That's what I was looking for here. But yes, that was a cool little surprise and very fucking funny. So I'm very excited to talk about all that. And then do we have anything Saturday? Nope, that's the end of the list. There it is. Nothing else. But thanks so much, as always, gang, for tuning in to On Screen Live. Until next week, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Have a good one. Adios, folks. Bye-bye.